Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fam, 1080 AM, live on YouTube, the Odyssey app. Hope your hump days are off to a good start. You're getting your hump on this morning.
I'm hot
humping today.
2 days in now of going to the 8 a.m. hour and wanting to say final hour.
It'll take a while.
And then like having to pivot in the moment as I'm talking to like, no, say 8 a.m.
It's not the final hour.
Just go to 8 a.m. hour.
We're only halfway done. We've only reached the 50% mark of the show.
Which I'm excited about.
I'm
glad to be here. I'm ready to go. Yeah. But it's just like throwing me off still.
You've been doing it one way for a long time. It takes a while to untrain yourself, man. That's why whenever we get new sponsors for things, it always takes me a while to remember. Oh, that's right. Because you just, it's kind of imprinted on your brain, if you will.
The poll question is up, by
the way. Okay, what's the poll question today?
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Yeah, look, texts are coming in, and you can interact with us during the show. By the way, we're Dirt and Sprague. Hello, good morning to you. I'm Dirt, he's Sprague. Swag is over there. 503-864-6326, that is the fan text line.
Now, I'm acknowledging, before you read some of these texts.
Yes.
I'm acknowledging to you, I love a Pop-Tart.
You love Pop-Tarts.
I don't eat Pop-Tarts.
Because they're unhealthy for you.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they're not good for you.
I don't have a benefit. I don't eat like a child anymore.
You cannot eat them on a regular basis like you used to.
But when my kids would once in a while leave like the last quarter of a Pop-Tart.
You're finishing that thing. You finish that alley.
I used to eat it like a sicko. Let me tell you how I ate it, okay? I used to toast it.
Can we pull that?
Now, I love it crispy. So I would toast it a little longer than most kids, okay? When that would pop. You pull it out real quick, put it on play, let it cool for a second.
Yeah.
I used to grab it on the both ends in kind of the more middle area, and I would just nibble the crust off. I would eat the crispy crust by itself all the way around the Pop-Tart, leaving just that juicy, delicious, tasty, sweet, frosting, fruit filling, or brown sugar filling, and I'd eat it with no crust. That's how I used to eat Pop-Tarts.
That's how you would do it?
I had a process. I did it every time, unless I was being real fat and hungry.
That's how it would go.
Rip it out of the package and just scarf it down. I also had an aunt that bought every flavor of Pop-Tart, and whenever I'd go visit, I would eat a pack from every box she had. I'd eat legitimately like 10 Pop-Tarts in 10 minutes.
Thoughts on Pop-Tarts are rolling in. Just simply, Pop-Tarts are overrated. Got sent into the fan text line.
Dude, did you text into the fan text
line? I did not. That's a 360 number, so that's not me. Pop-Tarts are okay. If somebody gave me one, I wouldn't turn it down, but I'm not going to go out and buy them.
See, that's not the... Yeah, I'm not either.
No. But I think that's some, yeah, but I think there's also different reasonings for not wanting to go buy Pop-Tarts, right? Like, you love Pop-Tarts, clearly. We're getting the take that you're a big fan of the Pop-Tart.
I do love a Pop-Tart.
You don't eat them because you're into being in shape and healthy and you don't like eating bad food. You were trying to have me smack you on the wrist with a ruler yesterday if you tried to reach for a, a croissant. Smack me, dirt, smack me. I can't eat this right now. It's like, I think you'll be all right. It's hood goes like a month away. You'll be
I
fine,
do have a sweet tooth.
Yeah, let me grab that buttered croissant. So that's why you don't eat them. Some people like this one's like, they're okay. That's why I don't buy them, because I don't want to buy them. I don't think they're fine. Disgusting, that's a little dramatic, don't you think? I mean, I don't like some things, but disgusting is like, you have to spit it out. Like, I love disagreeing with every take that I have. I think they're disgusting. Like, you give me a Pop-Tart in my mouth and I genuinely want to spit it out. I don't like the flavor. They're super dry. I don't like the texture of it. I'm out on everything that has to do with a Pop-Tart. Somebody said, did you eat them cold or heated up? Cold is way better. Cinnamon sugar is the best flavor. I got texted in. I tried them both. I tried cold and heated up, but I didn't like either. Mm. Do you prefer them cold or hot?
I prefer it a little toasted, yeah.
A little toasted?
I mean, I
not
I'll
like full toast, like a semi-toast, or like...
No, I just told you. I like the crust kind of almost burned, like really crispy. It comes off in one piece, and it takes just a little bit of the filling on the edge of the crust. Perfect bite.
Back-to-back text saying, what is wrong with you? And then 100% dirt, they're dry as bleep. Pop-Tarts suck. So, Pop-Tart takes a rolling in.
I just find when they're toasted to not be... Raw dog a Pop-Tart?
Yeah.
Totally get the dry response. It's just the sugar for me. I'm a sweet tooth guy.
It's a lot of sugar.
Toasted? I mean, I know toasting seemingly
dries it out more.
It's dry,
yeah.
But it feels less dried out.
It feels more wet is what you're saying?
It's just kind of powdery.
More moist?
Yeah, more moist.
More moist after the toast?
Yeah, because that middle part is cooked a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you add the crispy crust. It's amazing.
There you go. First time, long time. Also, the first time I agree with dirt ever. Well, there you go. Hey, first time for everything. Welcome to the new 105.1 FM, the Fan Days. Poll question is up. You can go vote on that
one. So when you see the bowl game happen every year and that little
Pop-Tart.
That's
why the Pop-Tart bowl game does nothing for me. I know it's a big deal for a lot of people, and it's funny that they cooked them and then ate them, but it's like I don't like Pop-Tarts, so
see,
it's not.
Childhood me comes out when
if you give me the
cooked.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch mascot, much bigger deal for me, because I could pound that stuff.
I'm with you there. Yeah. But when that little mascot comes out and it's the one that's supposed to be edible, but it's really just some cardboard with some frosting on it.
Right.
There's a childhood version of me that's like, I would demolish a real size Pop-Tart of that caliber.
That big of a Pop-Tart?
Yeah.
You need one of those, like, because they had that in Eugene. It was a Track Town or one of the pizza places, but they had the one where you get like the 5-foot by 5-foot pizza kind of thing. And we did it one time. You would order a Pop-Tart of that level if you could.
If you had a food place do a Pop-Tart challenge,
like we make
that way,
special Pop-Tarts. You come eat the Pop-Tart, but it's like 3 feet by 5 feet.
Yeah.
You'd eat that thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what you're getting from me is I have a sweet tooth. Very bad sweet tooth.
I think we're learning that bad boy. You had mentioned a quarterback there in the last segment overshooting a wide receiver, and I saw this, and it actually the synergy lined up, because I don't agree at all with the take. I think this is one of mine that has aged terribly, because I like taking the chance on drafting this guy. I liked his athletic potential. I thought, why not, right? Why can't this guy be Cam Newton or Josh Allen? He's big, he's strong, he's got a rocket arm.
You were very pro this guy.
Very pro this guy. Early in his career, it has gone terrible.
to say the least.
To say the least. But it's an interesting analogy, because I do think there's some validity to it, but I don't think we see it with this quarterback, but are we being fair? This comes out of Indy. They opened training camp, and I don't know if people remember this, but they went and signed Daniel Jones to be their starting quarterback this year.
Probably going to be the starter.
And it seems like Daniel Jones is going to win that job. Anthony Richardson was a top 5 pick 3 years ago. He's been in the NFL for 2 years, got hurt his rookie year, was a disaster last year, tapped himself out of a game on third down because he was tired from running around so much.
That did not age well.
Did not age well, right? So things have not gone well for Anthony Richardson. Their general manager, Chris Ballard, was asked at the open of training camp, like, hey, where's the timeline on this guy? You brought in another quarterback. How do you feel about your young quarterback?
People regret Baker Mayfield's timeline, Sam Darnold's timeline. Let's just go. Exactly. And so how about a little, sometimes you got to have a little patience with a guy and let them grow through things. Now there's got to be, like, if you just know this guy, no, he can't do it. But if you think, hey, he's on the right trajectory, why are you gonna flush him just because people outside think you should flush him? I don't agree with that. I think we need to give Anthony every chance to be the best he can be, and I think he can be really good, you know. But things got to come together.
So he is saying
Give him time. Look at Sam Darnold. Look at Baker Mayfield.
I did love the response you could hear from the media member just like on the off mic of like, yeah, but they switched teams. And he's
well,
like,
I think that was Ballard's point.
Be more patient.
I think that was his point of like, why would we want this guy to go hit on another team if we just give up? Like, Cleveland is
because
going through
this. Because your situation isn't good. Look, Chris Ballard, to me, actually seems like a genuinely good dude. I've seen him on McAfee. He's pretty open to the media. Mm-hmm. I love to listen to these guys talk because some of them are so guarded and they don't give you a lot.
Yeah.
He gives you a lot. I think it's pretty fair to say out loud, I've watched the Colts for a handful of years now. They've been a disaster and an embarrassment. And he's somehow still the general manager of that team. We're going to whiff. Quarterback is an unproven science. The teams drafting these guys don't know. Okay? They just don't. They're smarter than all of us. They're just as lucky, I think, to hit on guys as us saying, I like this guy, I don't like that guy.
Right.
But the reality is, man, you're judged on what your team is. And they're just not a good team. There's nothing about them. Are you excited for the Colts?
No, I mean, I see them being the exact same team they've been the last 2 years. They're almost like a different version of the Steelers, where they're like not as bad as you think that they are, but they're never going to be. They can't compete.
So, like,
they were 8-9 last year, which is not great, but it's also you're right where you don't want to be right.
They're in the purgatory of the NFL.
Yes,
they're
right
not
in that
the
no
worst, and they're not.
And then remember, 2 years
best.
Ago, they had a game in the last week of the season with Gardner Minshew, a quarterback, to win to go to the playoffs. Remember, the dude dropped the pass, and if they would have won that, they would have gone to the playoffs.
Look, my point being, a playoff team's great. It's a good thing in the NFL. It's much different than the NBA, but like, I don't know. I feel like I've been watching the Colts for 3 or 4 years now, and it's just largely the same. It's kind of mediocre crap, and I hate saying that because I have Colts fans in my life, and I want them to be happy, but I don't know, man. I can't believe he's still the general manager. The highlights are already coming out of like what his throws are looking like in camp, and maybe he'll be the starter, and he'll have a good year. I've seen him make probably the most incredible deep throw of my life when he threw it to, God, I forget the receiver, but at a Jets game last year, he threw a bomb.
Yeah, he's got a massive arm. We
and
know that.
And then I watch him just completely miss 6-yard out routes in a way that like pro quarterbacks shouldn't be missing.
Right.
Daniel Jones doesn't give me a whole lot of more confidence than Anthony Richardson does. So like, I you can comp him all you want. I don't see it working out that way.
That's the one that I would say for them. I just don't quite understand the idea of playing Daniel Jones. I don't think Anthony, like, I've kind of given up on that take. I just thought, athlete, let's see what we can do. Maybe he can run around. Big physical quarterback.
And
seemingly
Josh Allen's
like,
numbers in college
dude,
weren't
he
stellar.
Completed sub 50% of his passes, and he sucked at Wyoming, but he's turned into one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and winning an MVP. So, like, that was my thought of, like, why not take a flyer on a guy? Because you never know he's going to pan out. Starting Daniel Jones to me would be idiotic because I just know who he is. He's older. He's your average backup quarterback in the NFL. And I'd want to give my third year guy, this is it. This is your scoot and shading year. Like, you got one more year. If you suck this year, we're moving on. We're probably going to be a bad team. We'll draft a guy next year's class is deep. And if you're good, then hey, maybe we'll change our tune and we'll decide to keep you around a little bit longer. The Baker Mayfield example, I don't think is fair because Baker at least had the 1 year in Cleveland when they went to the playoffs and they beat, remember the year they beat the Steelers?
Yeah.
Like, he had a really good year. I can't remember if it was his second year or third year. I think it was his second year.
It was year two because Freddie Kitchens was gone and that was Stefanski.
They brought in Stefanski, right, and had this great year. He had a good year. He was healthy. And it's like, damn, oh my God, they got something. Now, year three, he played through the injury and things went sideways on him a little bit. And they decided to not give him the extension. And Cleveland's been regretting that, I would argue, every day since because they're desperate for a quarterback. The Darnold one is a little bit more fair. I think the problem with the Darnold example is he was with the Jets and he was terrible. He was seeing ghosts. He went to Carolina.
That year three, by the way.
Okay, year three for Baker.
7-5 in year three.
And he was really, the numbers were solid that year too, like across the board, if
he
I remember.
He was 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
That's a good year, dude.
Yeah.
That's a really good, like if Anthony Richardson could do that, I would say don't give up on him. That's a good season. Keep him around. Darnold was ass for the first 6 years of his career.
Yeah.
And then broke through, and it's been 1 year.
That's my point. Are we ready to do that with Darnold after 1 year? Because
right.
I don't know what it's going to be in Seattle this
year.
I'm
a pro Darnold guy, but I can't guarantee he's going to go out and shred people in the NFC West this year.
Baker has at least done this. He did the Carolina Ram thing, right? He flew in on a jet and played on a Monday night football game.
2 days later.
That back-to-back years in Tampa, 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks. Year one in Tampa, 41 TDs, 16 picks. Year two in Tampa. Completion percentage, by the way, up in the last 2 years in Tampa, 64.3 to 71.4.
I mean, he's legitimately a top 10 quarterback in the league. He's playing at that level.
Yes, and he's leading them to the playoffs. Yes. Like, say what you want. He may not win a Super Bowl, whatever. I don't know if I'm even ready to go there with Darnold on this whole transformation thing. So, like, his points are more few and far between, and also it's going to be a weird thing to counter if they start Daniel Jones
right
over the dude they took in top five.
Well, you're saying we got to figure out if he's good or not, and we got to decide if he has it. So I just, it's an interesting quarterback conundrum. We don't think a lot about the Colts on this show. We know we have P1s who are Colts fans, so sorry for whatever you're suffering through right now.
Maybe. Sink or swim with Anthony That's Richardson it. Like, this is kind of where I would be if I was a Colts fan.
Why do you want to win seven games with Daniel Jones at quarterback? What does that do for you? I don't understand it. Go 2-15 if you have to, with or whatever it is now with your how many games you play. Win two games with Anthony Richardson. You figure out he sucks, you move on, and guess what? You go draft Arch Manning or Clay Klubnik or whoever you want out of the next year's draft class. So that is Ballard on the Colts. I got one other bit of NFL audio we haven't played yet. We'll see if we can carve out some time for that coming up. I want to pivot, though. A couple of sound bites. We'll get to our buddy Ian Furness coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about, speaking of, Sam Darnold with him at 8:30. One analyst takes a shot at a head coach, and another player in the Big Ten pays homage to this and also a funny anecdote about the players from that team who were at Big Ten Media Day. A little college football audio next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
All right, welcome back in. 8:18, day two of Big Ten Media Days. Catching up on all the stuff from yesterday. Bielema's up on the stage. Dan Lanning will talk today. At 12:15, you'll hear him on The Firm with Harrison Marang.
I didn't eat breakfast this morning. All I can think about now is Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, when you talk about food and you're hungry, it's not good, you know?
It's not great. It
doesn't help the cause. Lincoln Riley will be up on stage. Is he today? Is Lincoln Riley today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
He is tomorrow. He'll be up there with his Mickey Mouse tears, crying about being four plays away from winning eight games, and maybe they can get to a bowl game in year four under Lincoln Riley this year. We'll see if they can do it. Greatest coach on the West Coast we've ever seen. Let's get to this. Speaking of him, he's going to talk tomorrow. And I have pointed this out. You mentioned this yesterday. I asked you, what's the biggest storyline going into Big Ten Media Days? And you said, Lincoln Riley, you're four at USC.
Pretty massive, dude.
Been a bit of a disaster. We had a great first year bringing in Caleb Williams, and they won all those close games, and their defense was bad. Pac-12 title game, and it collapsed against Utah, and they got killed in that game. Mm-hmm. But the next 2 years, one with Caleb Williams, in which they were a disaster. And then last year, we had to hear about him complain about being one possession away from beating Maryland and Rutgers and getting body bagged by Iowa. Here is a college.
They lost to Maryland, didn't they?
They lost to Maryland. Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that happened.
That's
Maryland.
It's Clay Helton bad.
Maryland. Maryland.
Yeah.
Here is Paul Feinbaum. He was randomly on ESPN Radio with Dari Noka, and just unsolicited, end of the interview, had this to say.
The thing that I'm most excited about Big Ten Media Days is I want to hear Lincoln Riley try to explain his last 2 years, because I can't think of anybody's who's coaching has been more fraudulent since his first year with Caleb Williams. And I say that as somebody who admired what Lincoln Riley did at OU. I didn't admire the way he left. But I really think, and I know a lot of people are still gnashing teeth in Norman and Oklahoma City and across that state, but I frankly believe the Sooner Nation is better off today than it would have been had he stayed around, because there is something wrong with this guy, Dorian. I know we don't have time. I know we're at the end of the segment, but I did want to close on that note. I am underwhelmed, and I can't think of a coach in modern time who's making the kind of money that he's making who has done less.
I mean, that's a tough one to end with, because I think there are coaches that we can point to who have been paid a lot of money to do really bad jobs.
Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, Jimbo Fisher at least won a national title at Florida State, so you could...
I was talking about Texas A&M.
Well, I know, but he said... Yeah. Yeah, and I...
Come
I think,
on, that's worse.
Sure, no doubt the run that he had A&M was worse. I think the point was making the amount of money without the biggest accomplishment in the sport, to be trying fair,
that's
but yeah.
The sport, man.
Sure.
Everybody makes the next big contract.
You're parsing through some language there and reading between the lines on things that he's trying to say.
Has Oklahoma been better off, by the way?
That's the other part of it that I'm like, Venables is going into a pivotal year where if he doesn't perform with Mateer...
He's got 2-6-7 seasons, like so that's 2-6-6 regular seasons. Yeah. The 10-win season, certainly, with Gabriel, no doubt.
Yeah.
Kind of the outlier in 3 years.
Right. Very similar to Lincoln Riley. He's had one good year and two down years.
Lincoln Riley ended at Oklahoma 12-2, 9-2, 11-2, see you later.
Yeah.
Like, look, I understand, not perfect. The USC thing has not been going well at all. As a guy that was like, holy crap, I thought this was one of the biggest moves. That was the reaction I had on the show live when it was announced. It's the year, man. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to fire him, because I know their financial situation is very interesting. A lot of universities are dealing with financial, they're coming up short in their budgets and they're having to cut stuff. I think Oregon is a part of it. Like, there's a lot of universities in the country that are having to cut stuff right now.
Even with that full Big Ten share, huh?
So I understand that they may not buy him out. If you don't do it this year, and I know they got a new thing at quarterback, but like, come on, man, enough with the excuses.
Yeah.
This is the portal era.
You brought in a Heisman-winning quarterback in year one. You went 8-5 with him in your second year because you had one of the worst defenses in the history of the sport.
They have not taken. Now, what if Anthony Lynn this year takes that step defensively for them?
Sure.
That'll be a big one, but I don't know. It seems like a pretty pivotal season to determine if this was truly a good move. I also don't know what he is at Oklahoma versus what he has become at USC. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Living that LA life, that LA mansion money.
Sure.
Like, that's a different lifestyle than Norman, Oklahoma, where it's like, what are you going to do? Golf and football. That's it. I've been to Norman, Oklahoma. It sucks. Oklahoma in general is terrible.
Yeah, not a great place. Get out as quickly as you can.
Yeah, he went to L.A. He's living that posh lifestyle. I don't know what's going on, but he better show it this year.
I do find it interesting to compare, because the hires were made at a very similar time, and both of them had their first years in 2022 at their respective programs. And I remember the thought was, Lincoln Riley is unquestionably the bigger hire. He's going to USC. It's a major program. Like, he's going to kill it there and crush it, and he's bringing in a Heisman-winning quarterback with him, or Heisman contending, I guess, at the time, because he won it the first year at USC. In 3 years at USC, Lincoln Riley's record is 26-14. He's 17-10 in conference play. 3 years into Dan Lanning at Oregon, they're 35-6, 24-3 in conference play. Like, it hasn't even been close.
It's not remotely close.
It's not even a competition.
Two.
And people will try and cry and say, well, Oregon's got Nike. It's like USC doesn't have resources.
Right.
USC didn't win national titles 20 years ago, giving out bags of cash
or
to Lendale White or houses to Reggie Bush. Like, get the hell out of here with that nonsense. So I love the Lincoln Riley criticism. I'm here for it. I think the guy's a bit of a clown. I hate the way that he constantly makes excuses for losing games. And the reason why he hasn't lived up to the hype, and this was the biggest fear in hiring him, is he's never taken one side of the ball seriously. His teams at Oklahoma were always great. They were elite offensively. When they ran into the big teams at the end of the year, what happened? They couldn't get stopped because their defense was a sieve. That's who they have always been. And so until he figures that out, now the offense has regressed a little bit because they don't have Caleb Williams anymore. It's a very interesting year. I agreed with you yesterday when you said it. I think they're the biggest storyline going into the conference this year. They ran away from the Pac-12 and killed our conference to, one, hide from Oregon because they're scared of them, and, two, go get more money because they're broke, according to them, and they thought we could compete in a national conference. We're in L.A. Look at us. And first year in the Big Ten was an absolute disaster for them.
You know, I kind of comp it. It's different in some ways. Obviously, I think right now people are feeling like they're in a better position than maybe USC will be this year. And USC will have a chance to prove all of the rhetoric wrong. I kind of comp Lincoln's tenure so far at USC. It really is similar to me of Mario at Miami.
Mm.
They were hired. Now, look, Mario had an actual tie as a player, but we were all thinking the same thing here. Ducks
fan
was like,
"Great recruiter,
oh,
going home to Miami.
We lost a recruiting guy, and here we go. We're making way, and he's gone. He's going to Miami, and Miami. It's Miami, man. All the talent's in Florida.
They're going to crush it. They're spending all this money.
All the alums are going to come back. And look, maybe they will. But 10-3 last year finally popped. Before that, 7-6, 5.
He's the reverse in terms of years.
Yeah. But it's the similar thing, right? He's the prodigal son returning. Oh, my God, we got the biggest offensive name in the sport. Neither one has paid off.
No.
Neither one has paid off yet. And maybe one of them will. But I look at them and they just remind me of each other. They both were great when I was younger.
Yes.
They both are the are they back kind of team now. They haven't popped. And which one's going to pop first? I don't know. Maybe Mario at Miami because of the conference. But both of them kind of feel like they're in similar territory of they're probably not going to get fired because of how much it costs.
Right.
But I don't know how many people are really going to put stock of like, oh, yeah, that guy can absolutely outcoach all these other people.
And there's also a difference in this day and age, too, I would argue, that maybe 15 years ago we're not arguing the same thing, although USC and Miami should be outliers to this because of the brands that they are and the cities that they're in and all of that stuff. There are no excuses of giving you time to build up anymore. There just aren't. The
you
transfer
don't need
portal
your
exists.
Ramp up anymore.
No,
like,
we got to get our first recruiting class. And when you famously had to write Mario Cristobal an apology letter because he was so soft that he complained about a hard question that you asked, that was literally the question. It was, how long do you have to be at a place till you feel like you got
the
collection of
backing,
talent that you want and all that stuff? Yeah. And he, you know, come on, brother. Like, it was a fine question to ask. And I think the reality back in the day was probably 3 or 4 years. By the time you get there, some of your classes have come through. Your first classes are upperclassmen. Like, then you've got your guys that you want. That doesn't exist anymore, man. Lincoln Riley's got to prove that he can win without Caleb Williams. He's not been able to do that yet at USC. And even in the 1 year he had him there, it was a disaster.
Miller Moss is at Louisville now.
And Miller Moss is gone, and so we'll see how it works out for him. And Miami's got to prove that they can do it without Cam Ward. Without Cam, I mean, 5-7, 7-6 without Cam Ward. Now you got Carson Beck. You pull that off? Broke up with one of the Cavender twins. See how it works out for you, Miami. So I think that's a great comparison I agree with, just inverse of when they had their pop year and then when the down years were. I didn't get to the player audio there from yesterday. I'll play that at some point in the final hour of the show. We still have Stat or Story coming up at 9:15. Let's get to the Daily Ticker and our buddy Ian Furness, once upon a time a host here on our station. His thoughts on Darnold early at training camp, Cal Raleigh maybe winning an MVP this year, and also what's the deal with the Blazer Arena deal and Seattle's bid to get an expansion team. Daily Ticker is next on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry hops-infused hard seltzers.
Try that.
Yeah, I would love to. Daily Ticker time on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cana Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Good day to be over there. It's going to be a little hot here. Being at the beach would be nice. Joining us now is a longtime friend of the show, once upon a time, a host on these very airwaves, 105.1 The FM, The Fan now, Ian Furness. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Ian D. Furness. He hosts up at 93.3 KJR and a studio host for the Seattle Kraken Hockey Network. Furness, good morning to you. How was vacation last week?
It was good. Staycation, hung out a couple days, and I'll tell you, a trip to Cannon Beach and Pelican Brewing sounds like a plan. Actually, I'll date myself. 30 plus years ago, that's where we went on our honeymoon, my wife and I. So,
look at that.
Awesome. I'd kind of like to get back there, actually, now that I think of it. How are you guys? Congrats on, and I was not on the FM. I was on 910, and then I was on 1080.
Yeah, different iterations of the station. What does former Fan employee Ian Furness make of us going big time now?
Oh, I love it. I'm happy for you guys. Listen, FM's a game changer. We're on the FM. We switched here at KJR. You'll love this. Swag especially, and everybody else running the thing behind the scenes. We were going to switch to the FM a few years ago. And Russell Wilson got traded in March. And that day, we were like, I don't know, 3 weeks away from making the flip. We flipped that morning, like right when Russ got traded, because it was such a huge deal.
Smart move.
Yeah, so it was, yeah. Swag, how's that sound, buddy? Yeah. That sound like a fun time?
No.
Last couple of days have been great here behind the scenes. Everybody's doing great and getting lots of sleep right now. It hasn't been stressful at all.
No, hey, you know what? Game changer, though. Congrats, man. It's awesome for you guys. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. You've been a good friend of the show. I want to ask you a quarterback question. You, last year, I want to say you were on, and you said Geno could be doing what Brock Purdy is doing. And some listeners heard that and were like, what?
I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was two years ago when Brock was in that MVP conversation.
Yeah, I think that's when it was. Yeah. And you gave that take. I'm just curious. Darnold is now the quarterback of the Seahawks for now. Geno is now with Pete Carroll in Vegas. Where are you at on Darnold? Because Chris Ballard says that you never know how these guys can pan out. Look at Baker, look at Darnold. I'm not ready to go there with Darnold the way that we have with Baker. Where are you at with the moving on of Geno Smith? And now here's camp. Sam Darnold's the quarterback.
A lot there, Brennan, but I'd say this. Let's go to Geno first.
Yeah.
Geno, you know, Geno had a, had came in as a starter without any competition, which is weird because it was all, you know, it's all Pete ever said. Let's, you know, we're all competing here, right? Well, yeah, to an extent. Really, Russ never competed after his rookie year. Marshawn never had any competition. I don't think Earl, Cam, Sherm, those guys were competing. Bobby Wagner for, with anybody.
Right.
But yeah, we're all competing, right? But the funny thing was, Russ leaves. They bring in Drew Locke, and they already had Geno here as a backup for a couple of years, kind of paying his dues. And Geno was just a reclamation project, if you remember. I mean, this guy was, you know, he did nothing in the NFL up until that point. And he was handed the job that summer. It was odd. Like, there was no competition whatsoever. And maybe there was competition in the minicamps and the OTAs we didn't see behind the scenes, but there was never once. Locke was scheduled to take first team snaps the third week of the preseason. He got COVID that week and never did, but it didn't matter. Geno was the starter. And Geno was fine. You know, Geno put up good numbers. He led him to the playoffs that first year. You know, Geno also changed a little bit as a quarterback. I think when Pete left, he soured. He wasn't a McDonald guy. And last year was an odd year. Arm talent wise, Geno Smith is a top five guy in the league, just in terms of pure arm talent. I'm not talking about, you know, decision making, you know, accuracy at times. You watch him spin the ball, it's just different. It's different than anything I've seen. Maybe early Russ had the same kind of velocity and stuff, but Geno's got incredible arm talent. Geno got to that last year, last season specifically, and it became about Geno getting paid more. He knew he was going into the second to last year of his contract. He put together some numbers that on the surface looked great. And, you know, his completion percentage above 70%. Well, when you're check down Charlie, yeah, it's going to be 70%. I mean, my goodness, it was pathetic what he was doing at the end of the season. Very selfish. There was a lot of Russ in him at the end, which I never would have expected before. Kind of sullen. You watched him on the sidelines. He changed. And I just think they needed to move on from him. And they certainly weren't going to pay him what he wanted. And so, they did move on, you know, and he found it, you know, he's a Pete guy. Go hang out with Pete in Vegas. And, you know, congratulations on bringing back Jamal as well. That'll be a ton of fun for those guys. Hasn't had a sack since 2021, but sure, you go ahead and do that. I mean, so, you know, they had to go find a quarterback. And Sam Darnold was not going to be the starter, obviously, with J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. It was a logical move. Darnold said the second he saw, you know, Geno leave, he knew that was an opportunity, him and his agent, and it happened and it worked out well. Can Darnold replicate last year? Can he even be the level that Geno was maybe his first couple of years here? Remains to be seen, right? It's going to be hard to – we won't know until 2 or 3 weeks into the season. I would just say this with Darnold. The track record, at least coming in, he does have one really good year as a starter under his belt, and Geno didn't even have that. It's an offense that fits him. You know, the Kubiak offense, Shanahan/Kubiak offense, it fits what Sam Darnold can do. He can spin it as well. He's athletic. Guys love him. The guys I talked to during OTAs and minicamps and players, they love this guy. Very popular in the room. That's part of the deal, being an NFL quarterback as well. So I think the offense overall is going to be better, and I think Darnold will fit nicely.
Interesting. We're talking with Ian Furness, our good buddy up in Seattle, 93.3 KJR, at Ian D. Furness on Twitter. We'll give him a follow, and the studio host for the Seattle Kraken. You had some tweets last week that I know made my antennas go up, and it came on the heels of a couple announcements out of the NBA, one being that owners aren't quite as bullish on expansion this offseason as maybe we thought they were going to be going into the offseason, and then Adam Silver getting asked at a press conference saying it's his preference that the Blazers stay in Portland while they're up for sale, which always, you know, makes you freak out a little bit. And people up in Seattle know that well because that's what happened to their NBA team. I'm just curious, kind of a 30,000-foot view question for you, of what you make on the expansion efforts in Seattle, the Jody Allen for sale situation going on, and needing a new arena in Portland.
Yeah, there's it's an interesting thing because, you know, when we lost the Sonics in 2008, I was working still at the Fan in Portland in 06 when Howard Schultz sold the team to Clayton Bennett. And I remember thinking, well, there's just, you know, people up in Seattle were panicked. There's no way they're ever going to move this team. 41 years. The attendance was actually decent, despite the fact that they had just kind of run the thing into the side of the mountain. Does this sound familiar at all? You stop me as soon as I start hitting some buttons.
Things are going great down here, Ian. I don't know what you're talking about.
They won
36 games this year, and they just signed a 35-year-old who ruptured his Achilles.
Who will get paid for an entire – he's got the best agent in the world, huh? Like, what?
Good one, guy.
Can you imagine? Like, why do you sign him now? Like, what is that? Yay, rah, rah. But like, that's the
butts
dumbest
in the
thing
seats. That's why they're doing
it.
Butts in the seats.
Why? Just so they can see him sitting in street clothes?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's going to mean a lot.
Sell a ticket? Yeah. No, listen, let me preface it by saying this. I don't think I would. They're not going to move the Portland Trail Blazers to Seattle. I mean, that would be far more egregious than what they did with Seattle to Oklahoma City. And I think deep down they know there was a mistake. But what they will do is this. They will use Seattle as a leverage tool. And this is what I tweeted last week, and it came out. John Hollinger wrote the same thing in Athletic 2 days ago. Like, if you follow this at all, you know what the playbook is. It's a really simple one. There is a city that desires the NBA, that's a big market, that has a brand new, sparkling, brand new arena that is ready to host the NBA. They welcome back with open arms. And now let's go around the league and see who needs a new arena, who needs an arena renovation, who can we leverage Seattle against around the league? Portland is one, and there's other teams as well. Memphis has its issues and has had since they went there back in, 26 years ago when they left Vancouver. I don't think they're going to move them, but we already got one building built, guys, and we didn't have a building here.
Yeah.
In 2012, 2013, when Sacramento looked like it potentially moved to Seattle, they got last second, 12th hour, they got a brand new building out of that in Sacramento. And we didn't even have a damn building at that point. We still had Key Arena. We didn't have Climate Pledge. Climate Pledge is a state-of-the-art, unbelievable facility. We didn't have that. Now we have that. There's true leverage. The NBA is greasy. Adam Silver is spineless and is like probably the – people can complain about Rob Manfred all they want. There is no commissioner with less juice than Adam Silver in the league. He first of all, he lies. Like he talks about, well, you know, we'll explore expansion. Like, he's making it sound like last week when they just handed expansion thoughts and theories to two existing committees. One's a fiscal committee, and I forget what the other one is. That was some sort of like step forward and something new in the process. If anybody thinks that Adam Silver hasn't spoken to representatives of Seattle ownership group, they're crazy. Because I can tell you for a fact that they have. It's the same ownership group as the Kraken have. It's the same group. There's other investors involved. And there's rumors that Jody could be involved once she sells the Blazers with a potential ownership with the Sonics as well as a minority owner. There's a lot going on there. Mm. It's all been discussed. Adam Silver has met multiple times with people representing Seattle. Going back to let's go back to 2018 when they did the season ticket drive for the Kraken. David Bonderman, who has just passed away this past year, the primary owner initially of the Kraken, his daughter took over now. He was a minority owner of the Boston Celtics. Do you think over the last 7-8 years that he hasn't spoken to Adam Silver about expansion? He told me that night. Yeah, we want to bring an NBA team here too. Who are you kidding, Adam Silver? Like, it's a joke. The problem now is they've pushed it further down the road. They've kicked the can further down the road, and for a couple of reasons. One is they can use Seattle as leverage, and they know that. Two is they want to get this European thing, which is just nothing more than a money grab off the ground, and they want to have that establish their footprint in Europe. And don't ever believe when they try to tell you to grow the game in Europe. Grow the game. Look at an NBA roster. Half the league is European right now anyway, right? So why grow the game? No, you just want to capitalize and profit off of that is what you want to do. And then you'll worry about expansion on your own soil because you know places like Seattle, Vegas, when they figure out what their ownership situation is going to be and the building situation is going to be. And then you've got Nashville doing an arena renovation that wants a team. Kansas City always comes up as well. We can go on and on and on. Vancouver has been talked about again, getting a team back up there north of the border, a second Canadian team. We can go on forever. Mexico City, which seems so far-fetched, but they're going to use Mexico City for leverage too. That's how this league works.
Final one for you. We're against it. I know you won't care because you're a radio guy and we all go over the clock here. Cal Raleigh does it again yesterday, gives them their run against the Red Hot Brewers. They win 1-0. I said it after the home run derby. I think I'm laying a futures on the Mariners to win the World Series because the value is great. Ooh. And Why not?
Why not? I got a lot of history to point to from why
not.
Yeah,
it's okay. He's gone through it. What do you make of Cal Raleigh and just how insane this season is? He's one away from 40. And where are you at on the Mariners? You buying the pass in? They're going to be buyers at the deadline because they don't want to waste Cal Raleigh's season.
Well, why not? We'll be 49 years. I'll just give you that. there's 49 years of history. They've been buyers the last couple of years, though. I mean, three years ago, Castillo at the deadline. And then last year, they picked up Randy Rosarena, was probably the biggest bat on the market last year. And they picked him up at the deadline. So I could see them being buyers. I think the one guy that everyone links them to is Gino Suarez out of Arizona, who used to be here, obviously. Left because of a salary dump. And the question is, you go get him and bring him back. He's chasing Cal down for the home run league. There's a lot of competition for Gino. They could have bought him low about a month ago. And now Arizona's been winning and you know, other teams want him. So the bidding's going to be high. You may have to give up a top 100 prospect. And they've been kind of, you know, not really wanting to do that for a rental player. They've never done it for a rental player. And I don't know if you want to re-sign Gino to a long-term deal. So we'll see. But I think they will be buyers, guys. I really do. I think that I don't think the pressure up here is too immense. They have to do something at the deadline. As far as Cal, it's one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in sports. I mean, it's even last night, they just need one. You know, the pitching matchup between those two guys was unbelievable. And they needed one, and Cal gave him a solo shot. He seems to come through in the big moments more often than not. It's just an incredible thing watching this guy on a nightly basis. He's an incredible, incredible leader in that clubhouse. He's the one guy that's been outspoken about the lack of moves in the past with the team. If you remember a couple of years ago, Scott Service actually chastised him for it. Nice to know you, Scott. Thanks for coming. This is the most – he's the most impactful and most important athlete in Seattle right now, and there's not even a close number two.
Would have been wild thinking that a couple of years ago with Julio. And he's got the best nickname in sports, the Big Dumper. Ian Furness, at Ian D. Furness on Twitter. Go give him a follow. 93.3 KJR up in Seattle. Seattle Kraken Hockey Network as well. Always great catching up with you, buddy. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the start of training camp. Let's do this again soon.
Anytime, guys. Good to talk to you. See ya.
There you go. Ian Furness talking some Seattle sports. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. How about that connection? Ian Furness going on his honeymoon to Pacific City, hanging out at Pelican. They invite you out to one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Lincoln City, Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. A lot to get to in the final hour of the show, which is on the horizon. Let's react to some of that, of what he said there on the NBA move and where the Mariners are at going into the deadline. Back after this on The Fam. Jeff Russ is in here criticizing my Pop-Tart takes, which, you know, Jeff Russ, come on. I don't need that negativity on day two of 105.1 FM The Fam. We're all family here, okay?
We are all family, all rooting for each other. It's not often we get a meringue and dirt shared opinion.
Not often do we come together in unison, but we evidently did on Pop-Tarts.
Crips and Bloods uniting on a topic, and it
holding
is.
Holding our bandanas up.
Anti-Pop-Tart.
He tried to think that the signing of the Blazers was a big deal yesterday, and nobody had ever heard of the guy before. But today on Pop-Tarts, hold those bandanas up. Somebody texting in, Dirt's not a real fat. Not liking Pop-Tarts? He just lost all my respect. He's no longer my second favorite fan host. How far am I bumped down in the power rankings for the Pop-Tart take? And I also want to know who's number one. Give me your fan host rankings, power rank. I want the power rankings.
That's going to take over the last hour now.
Well, what I've said before, and I'll say it again for the FM crowd, Dirt, as that listener astutely points out, a fake fat.
Fake fat.
He is a fake fat. He's not even fat. He just pretends that he is because he wears large shirts.
I mean, I have to wear large shirts because I'm a large man.
You're not a large man.
I'm a large and in charge.
You look like you weigh 180 pounds.
It's because I'm sucking in right now.
Take the shirt off. We got going on here.
You don't want to see these nipples. They're big. We got a lot to get to.
Douchey or no douchey, the neighbor that is shirtless grilling in his driveway.
I've done that before.
That's been me for a week, and I kind of feel like, am I looked at by my neighbors?
You're
as douchey guy?
You're douchey. Skinny, douche. Fat, funny.
I'd say more fit, not skinny.
You're skinny.
Fit.
Eat a large pizza.
We got a lot to get to. Is all we do.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Status story coming up. Our first FM edition of Status Story. That'll be at 9:15.
Like, a neighbor won't even wave back to me now, and I'm like, put a shirt on, because I don't have a shirt on.
You're trying to intimidate everybody. You got your tattoos. Like, we get it. You're in shape. All right, fat guy out there. You say what's up. You go have a beer with him. That guy's a bro. He's hanging out. He's having a good time.
Fat people get to be cool.
Yeah, fat people get to be cool. Skinny people, shame. Shame on you for being in shape. Status story 9:15. I want to start though with a funny anecdote from one team that I don't like, but the note was kind of funny. And day two of Big Ten Media Days, what are we looking forward to today outside of just Oregon? It's a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.